Go ahead.
All right. I want to welcome everyone to this regularly scheduled work session for the City of Mountain Park City Council. First item on the agenda is the consideration of poultry fee increases for residents. Which council member would like?
Harold Silver.
Like to pick that.
Carol Silver said she did.
Karen, you're freezing up. I'm not getting everybody's frozen.
Yeah, tell me for what to do.
Are you sure it's my internet and not yours?
Mine says strong signal.
Well, I'm connected to the best option that I have, so it is what it is. Sorry.
All right. Well, let's just get started. Which council member brought the pool fee increases to the table?
Well, Councilman Silver addressed it last month, but I'm at the point where if council desires to increase the rates, I need to know this month because the tags will go on sale May 1st. Hang on just a second and let the mayor. Can you hear me?
I can now. Just became back online.
Okay, so Council Member Silver would like to address this.
All right.
Initially, and then you will have any other council members and then anybody from the audience. So who do you want to go with first? Councilman Silver?
Yes, Councilperson Silver.
Yes, sorry about that.
Okay, so just a proposal. You guys tell me what you think. We didn't go up last year. We need to go up. We need the revenue. Everybody agrees. It is just about the only amenity left in Mountain Park besides this community building. I'm really happy that we did some repair work. I understand all that. I am looking at possible proposal to increase the resident fees only, not non-resident. We went up on those last year. Can you hear me? Is that a yes?
Jim?
I mean, I can move up to the computer.
Can you hear? Yes. Can you hear us? Yes, hang on a second. Why don't we just do speakerphone? That way you don't keep cutting in and out, okay? Well, but my end's not freezing up down here. Yours is. You keep going in and out. Okay, I'm going to put you on speak. Huh? Are you going to end the Zoom call totally?
Mute it up so people can see it.
Mute it? Okay. Okay. No, I'm not touching it. You're the one that's... All right, so I'm going to put you on speakerphone on the phone, okay? Okay, you're on.
Okay, so I'm just proposing resident fee increases. If someone has a better alternative, please let me know. I'm proposing that we increase the adult pool pass from $60 to $75, the child pool pass from $50 to $60, and a family pass from $230 to $250. I am hoping that we're not going to be selling the punch card and the day passes. We're going to keep it like we did last summer. I thought it was a great plan. It's worth it to me. As I say, the pool is our greatest amenity. And the most important thing is the pool maintenance company went up $1,000 in 2020, and they went up another $1,000 this year. So that is the only reason I am anxious about it and looking at it. And as I say, if you guys have a better alternative, please let me know. That's it.
All right. Does any of the other council members have any questions for Councilperson Silver?
You do have someone in the audience that just raised a hand.
Okay. No council members?
No.
No.
Okay. All right. Person in the audience that's raised their hand?
Michelle Basher.
Okay.
So I say this every year. The taxpayers already paid for the pool. The pool does not make money. So you tax us to have the pool. And to go up on the fees again is like double paying us. And I'm going to go on record that we actually bought an annual pass last year to support the city, but you are double taxing me for an amenity. And I think maybe there's other ways to look at it. Every year I ask you guys just to make it free. We're paying for it with our tax dollars. If you can prove to me that the pool makes money, I would 100% support that. But if that pool is like 80% funded by tax dollars, can you really justify going up on us again?
I was not aware it was funded by tax.
Oh yeah, the pool does not make money.
Never
has. It doesn't make money. It's kind of insulting as a resident who bought a pass to support you last time. Today you want to go up again on me.
No, we didn't go up on resident fees.
But I'm saying that I did it last year. I hadn't done it the year before. We've been members of Brookfield. I did it to support you and your endeavors on the pool. I bought an annual pass. We went one time. You can check
it out. I did the same thing.
But if you're going to tax me for an amenity and then charge me even more to use it, how can you justify that to me?
I'm justifying it because the pool company is going up increasingly every year.
But I'm still paying the taxes.
And as I understand it, taxes are obligatory. Pool fees are not.
But my taxes that are obligatory, if you're saying, yes, I'm obligated to pay taxes, and you as council have chosen to fund a pool, which is cool, thumbs up for you, but for you to come back and want to charge me, keep going up on my fees to you something think about it, that is double taxing us all, because these fees don't pay for the pool. Our taxes pay for the pool, and we are legally obligated to pay taxes. But we are not legally obligated to pay your fees.
Correct.
And it is somewhat insulting for you to ask us all to pay for a pool and then ask to go up on fees. Because the pool does not make money. This amenity is taxpayer funded. And I don't know if obviously you were not aware of that. But this is taxpayer funded pool. It is not paid for by our fees.
All right.
Nancy Braswell has her hand up.
All right, Nancy?
I just had a question for you, Karen. Have you noticed a decline in membership when we raise our fees? And I certainly agree with Michelle.
I don't think our fees have ever gone up so substantially that it truly deterred people coming. I do have the number of total pool passes sold last year. There were 92 resident adult passes, 21 non-resident, 60 child, and 20 non-resident child. So your resident rate is the biggest part of the funding revenue stream.
I just didn't know if there was a graph provided to tell how we raised it, we lost 10 people this year. And also with the pool company, I don't know, I do this where I work. If I sign you up for 3 years, will you take $2,000 off? Can I hold this bid for 2 years? Maybe they'll work with us that way if we ask them. It doesn't hurt to ask. I've been told no many times, but I've been told yes too. So it might be worth it. It's better to have our business than not have business. I'd say, you know, hey, what are you doing different? They're going to say things about it, but come on. You want that business, and then maybe you want a 3-year contract versus a one? Good deal. And her dad.
All right.
Do you want to go with the council member or continue in the audience until that's exhausted?
All right. Council members, I'd like to give them the preference instead of the voting. The individuals, so
okay, that would be Linda Dixon.
All right.
Louise's hand is up as well.
Mayor,
okay.
Is it true, do you feel it's true that the taxes from our homes could pay for the pool fees from the pool? How do you feel about that?
Did you hear that, Jim?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't quite make out what she said.
She wants to know, is it true that the taxes are sufficient to pay for the pool? And do you think that's true? Do you agree?
Well, the pool does not make money or is not making a profit at this point. I mean,
never have.
So we're either going to have to, you know, taxes are going to have to pay for it, or we're going to have to increase the fees. And I think that either way, it's six and one half a dozen of another, in my opinion.
Okay, now Council Member Lloyd Hendricks has a question or a statement.
Okay.
If you go back and look at the history of the pool, typically each year the pool loses $5,000. That's the average over the last 7 years. That's when I went and looked at it. Except for 2020. In 2020, the pool lost $7,000. It has never, since the day that we opened it, made a profit or even come close to breaking even, regardless of what the fees were. Okay? So that's where that stands. If you want to pay for it out of property taxes, then you're looking at jacking up property tax by $7,000 to $8,000. And maybe back down on this somewhat. I mean, this does contribute to it, but it doesn't come close to contributing what needs to be done.
And that's a viable alternative. We could add on to the property taxes and make the pool free.
You could just do like two passes per property. It doesn't have to be totally free. Two passes per property. That's simple. You know, you mail two passes to the owner on record on the taxes. You don't have to give everybody six or 12, two. If you got a family of four, you might have to buy. You don't have to make it free across the board, just two passes per house. Or, I mean, whatever number, I'm making these numbers up. But 92 at 400 isn't that much money. Here, you know.
Councilperson Dixon has her hand up again.
All right. Councilperson Dixon.
I kind of disagree with Lloyd. We really don't know what those taxes pay for. We really never looked at that. And so what do they pay for? That would be interesting to find out.
Karen, what taxes is she referring to?
Property taxes, I'm assuming.
Okay, so it's up, but it's in the budget. I mean, it's that the property taxes go for paying for the pool, and we offset the cost of the pool by the fees that we charge for the use of the pool, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
You have a member of the audience that has had her hand raised, Trish Hill.
All right. Go ahead.
This conversation has been going on for 30 years that I know of. It comes up every, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, it comes up again. And some previous mayors have believed that the pool is an amenity, that it should be supported by the taxes as an amenity. And then some have believed that it should support itself, which has never done. So it's sort of like, my feeling would be either charge enough to make it pay for itself, or let it be an amenity and make some compromise like Michelle made. But all I'm saying is, this goes on over and over and over again, and no administration seems to have been able to figure it out. I think other cities, I think, consider them amenities. But I don't know that for a fact. You know, if I haven't made a study of a lot of different cities, I'm just saying that I've heard that it's an amenity. So I don't know where that'll put you, except that we're doing our duty of having this conversation once again.
All right.
Jim, Council Member Dixon has her hand up again. Council person.
Okay. Councilperson Dixon.
Sorry, Jim. But then every year we get major complaints about the pools not kept up. Things are problems. There are lots of problems with the pools. So I think we need to rethink raising fees. I think we need to possibly rethink our pool company we're using, who keeps going up on us. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
You've got Bradford Dallas in the back of the room with his hand up.
All right. Bradford.
I've got an idea for increasing city revenue, and it would shift the income basis from a group of people known as a taxpayer to a paper usage. My idea that I have is based on our neighboring county to cap, where when fire services are administered to like put out a fire or something, they also propose a fine schedule with that. So instead of everybody that's at risk of fire paying for that, they find people that are, these people that are the problem. And that this fine schedule might help increase your revenue marginally per year.
All right, thank you. Any other council members have any questions or comments?
I have a question for sure, but
Don has a question.
Talking about the daily passes?
Last year we did not sell any daily passes.
Well, that's last year.
They were only doing season passes. I don't know how they're going to do it this year. I actually thought it was great to have only season passes.
Okay.
I don't know how they're going to do it. So I was just looking at fees for residents only, not non-residents. We got those raised up last year. And I was looking at adult and child and family.
Okay.
That's
so last year was a little different. It's probably, usually we always sell quite a few daily passes. I would not recommend doing away with those.
We sold a lot of daily passes in 2019.
Yeah.
We sure did.
There you go.
We had 234 day passes sold in 2019. But we didn't sell those at all last year.
Cool.
We didn't offer it because of COVID last year.
Correct.
What's the daily fee? What was that rate? What was the daily rate on those passes?
They were for those resident passes. Do we know? I mean, not the resident, the daily pass.
I think they were $8.
That's not right. It was like $8.
Would it be worth our while to offer our pool to maybe neighborhoods that don't have one, so we can sell those day passes? Or because not everyone in this community goes. I don't want to be staying in the bathing suit, but I know a lot of people. I mean, I don't know if that's something we could offer to other neighborhoods and say, hey, our pool's available. This is our neighborhood.
Well, we do. We non-resident fees.
I mean, but do they know we have non-resident fees?
Well, we have a giant sign out in front of the pool and.
But if I don't come down here, I don't know.
So what are y'all suggesting? That we advertise it or?
Maybe, I mean, if you're looking for revenue, maybe advertise the pool. I have no idea what that entails.
I appreciate your suggestion, thank you.
All right, anyone else?
You have Trish Hill with her hand raised again.
All right, Trish.
I think it would be really discriminatory to, there are a lot of people that can't afford the, season pass. And then you have people that just have friends come in, or their grandchildren come in. And they don't need a season pass, but they would like to have their grandchildren, their visitors go to the pool. So I strongly suggest that we offer the day passes.
All right. Anyone else?
You have Tasha Norland.
I just want to ask the price for non-residents. What are they going to cost the charge?
We raised as of last year to, I'm hoping my thing is right. Let me look at this one.
It is.
The adult is $100 as a season pass. Seniors, 95, 60 and up. Child season pass was $75. And a family is 400. And that is two adults and up to three children.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else? Councilperson Silver, will you, I'll put you down to take this on Monday night in the city council meeting.
You have Lloyd Hendricks that would like to make another comment.
All right, Councilman Hendricks, go ahead.
Jim, have we heard anything from the state about what the occupancy level can be?
There are no restrictions.
Yeah, they removed.
They removed all the restrictions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, anyone else? All right, moving on to new business. For item number one under new business, consideration of intergovernmental agreement with Cherokee County. Karen, you want to give us the story on that?
Sure. For at least 2 years, the cities have been in negotiation with Cherokee County for the updated service delivery strategy. The cities of Canton, Holly Springs, and Woodstock had bigger issues, obviously, than us or Waleska. I believe those issues have been worked out. There was one issue remaining that they were still discussing, and that had to do with some improvements being made to State Route 5 that goes from the north end to the south end. I have not yet heard from those three major cities if their council has approved this. However, in the interest of time and the fact that we are currently listed as a non-qualified entity through the Department of Community Services and therefore not eligible for grant funding until this agreement has been signed by all participating entities. But in the interest of time, I just felt like maybe we could go ahead and put it on the agenda. I should have an answer by Monday if it's going to be approved by the rest of the cities in Cherokee County.
All right, thank you. So we'll get it on the agenda for Monday night. Does anybody want to take this off Monday?
Don Carlson or Lloyd Hendricks right. Both said they would.
All right. Well, let's see which one gets his motion in first.
Okay.
Okay, next item is the discussion of the 2021 through 2022 general and enterprise fund budget. Basically, why this is on here is because we are going to be ramping up to start budget discussions. Karen needs to have some dates, either one or two dates, for public meetings that are going to be dedicated to strictly budget discussion. So if anyone has any conflicts or on vacation or anything in the month of May, we'll probably go ahead and start this in May and go ahead and let us know. Now, Karen, do you have any questions for the council members regarding this?
No, I was hopeful to have an actual bare bones budget to give them tonight just to start to look at and to start thinking between now and the time that they have their first hearing, but even as late as 6:40, I still didn't have that from Lourdes. I will get it, I think, by Monday, and I can go ahead and send it out, and then perhaps Monday everybody can come back to the table with a couple of dates that we can go ahead and set it for the first work session.
All right, so everyone please numbers with you on Monday night so we can start pinning down some dates for some budget hearings. We want to make sure we get the word out as soon as possible to give people plenty of time to plan to attend. So I look forward to getting these dates on the calendar on Monday night. Next item is the discussion of the irrigation ordinance. Karen, you want to give us the backstory on the irrigation ordinance?
Hang on just a second.
He went way too fast past the Cherokee delivery strategy. I don't know anything about that.
He didn't say anything about it. I did.
What is it? What about the Roswell we were going to vote on?
That has nothing to do with the Cherokee County Service Delivery Strategy.
That's a totally separate county.
Totally separate issue.
We need to be informed. I know nothing about what this is.
We've been talking about this for 2 years. I don't know what else. I mean, if you'd like to come and sit down.
I don't think so. We're supposed to be voting on the Roswell.
That will be on Monday's. That will be on Monday's agenda as well. But it's just not on tonight's. Because y'all had a work session on that.
But this is not that, Linda. This is an.
I know. Don't say anything because this is okay. That's
a different subject.
Because I should know more about this. So I knew Carol doesn't know either.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. I think you can move ahead. Did you want me to say something?
Yes, about the irrigation ordinance. What is the origins of this ordinance?
Okay, the next three items on the agenda, the irrigation ordinance, the model stream buffer ordinance, and the model floodplain management flood damage prevention ordinance are being required by the state. Every 10 years, cities are required to go through a 10-year water audit through the Metropolitan North Georgia Water Planning Commission, or district, I believe. I'm not sure if they're called Planning Commission or district. Anyway, we just went through that process last year, early this year, and these are the three ordinances that they have deemed that we must have in place by the end of this year. So Brandon has drafted these ordinances. He can answer any questions Monday night that you have after you read through them. And these ordinances have been or will be on our website by in the morning.
All right. So basically these are required ordinances that we have to address.
Correct.
Okay. Who would like to take the irrigation ordinance on Monday night?
Don Carlson said he would do that.
All right. Model stream buffer ordinance.
Carol Silver said she will do this.
And last but not least, floodplain management, flood damage prevention.
Lloyd Hendricks said he would do this.
Great. And, I do appreciate it.
And these are first reads only.
Right.
Okay.
All right. And the next segment of the agenda is the appearances. Mr. John Dasher.
Can you hang on just a second? Trish Hill has her hand up.
Okay. I can't see her, so yeah.
I think we're not getting very much on what these mean and what's changed.
They will be on the website in the morning, and the city attorney will be here Monday night to talk about all of this. This is just a first review. There's got to be a second review as well.
I thought a work session was to talk about what the issues are.
This is just a first presentation of the ordinances.
Well, I wouldn't call it a presentation of the ordinances. I would say it was an introduction to the
title. Introduction.
I presented them to council to review to start the discussion on Monday night. That's the only presentation that's being done. You're correct. And they'll be on the website if they're not already by in the morning for the public.
Are the changes clearly marked?
I'm not sure.
I mean, those of us that would read it wouldn't have a clue what happened.
I'll make sure that the city attorney is prepared to address that Monday night. I'll make sure of that.
All right. Well, I would hate to take up his time with asking about all the changes. I would like to see the website document. we've got the comments.
So he can, you want me to have him make those changes and put that on the website rather than address it Monday night?
Yeah, because if there's a lot of differences, it could take up a lot of time. And some of the changes, you know, number one, if the changes aren't indicated, then it's a bogus document. It means nothing to any of us because we don't know that anything is changing from what it is. I think this is a very poor presentation of ordinances that we will live with for 10 years. So I want to address that I do not think that this is a fair way to conduct the introduction of ordinances. And I believe that whatever you have on the website should show changes to the current ordinance. And I personally would not want to take up the audience's time with a whole bunch of discussion over things that are not, can't even research before to maybe alleviate any concerns I have.
Oh, I'm happy to do whatever council tells me to do. I'm happy to. Whatever you guys want.
It's just the first week anyways, isn't it?
It's a first read.
So it'll be 2 months before it's approved, right?
Correct. At least 2 months.
Thank you, Jim.
You don't even have to do it in 2 months.
Okay. All right. Two appearances. Mr. Dasher, you want to address property tax?
Yes, thank you. So I just wanted to ask the revenue.
John, so I'm sorry, will you come forward a little bit so I can hear you better because I'm having a hard time here. Thank you.
All right. So I just wanted to ask the council, I mean, revenue is a big concern with the city. We got fees wanting to be increased. Bradford's got suggestions of charges you go. But I suggest that the council work to create a more even tax base, to go through the tax assessor's office and make sure that their assessments are up to date. Even if we got a lot of vacant lots, residential too, in this city that are $30, you know, and people, you know, we can maybe attach a special fee to vacant lots to get people to combine their lots to increase their tax footprint. There's a lot I think that we could do to raise revenue in the city if we would just make sure the tax assessor has the most correct and up-to-date information so that we're collecting what we should get. So I know.
All right. Thank you, Karen. When was the last time we had the audit for, you know, from the tax assessor's office on properties?
I don't know that they physically come out here and done an audit in a decade.
Okay.
I'd have to talk to the chief assessor. I don't know.
Yeah, I knew that because it seems like one time, a long time ago, they came out and they rode around and looked at properties. And I know that every time we have a building permit that's issued, don't we turn that over to the tax assessor's office so that they can make the changes accordingly?
It's done on an annual basis, but yes.
Okay.
Karen.
All right.
Councilperson Dixon has her hand up.
Okay.
I think 5 or 6 years ago, the assessors came out, did a thorough.
I can understand exactly what she said.
She said that she thinks they came out 5 or 6 years ago.
May have been 5 or 6 years ago.
But not since then.
All right. Next appearance, Ms. Michelle Dasher to address code enforcement.
Do I have to come up there, Jim?
Just so I can hear you better.
Okay, so I don't want to talk about all the stuff that you guys see on social media about code enforcement. What Jim will always tell you is that the worst thing is having enforcement here. So what I wanted to ask council to do was to kind of pause what's going on with code enforcement. And the reason I was because it's not being applied equally. And all we have to do is turn the TV on to see what happens if you're applying your codes and your restrictions unevenly. People get parking tickets. Every day when I come home, the same family's parked on the road. They've never got a ticket. Is that fair? You know, I talked to Karen. Some guy gets a ticket for his bed. For months, I drive by a guy with a mattress leaned against his house. So my whole thing is I'm asking council to just take a moment, because if you guys are paying somebody to apply codes unevenly in the city, how is that legally, ethically, and morally? Because it bothers me to no end that one person gets a ticket for an expired tag, but once again, I drive by somebody, multiple cars with expired tags in their lot. Their cars aren't moving. So I just wanted to talk to all of you guys, and I wanted to talk to council, because I understand the importance of having codes and having us be held accountable to them, but I am not comfortable being held to a different standard than my neighbor. And if you council members are okay with that, I would like you to explain to us why that's okay, but I would like you to support Karen and everybody else in City Hall in pausing this, doing some soft training, doing whatever is needed. Maybe focus back on why this gentleman was hired. The green, the fishing. I mean, just the other day we watched people pulling boats out. You know, they have no tags on them. So what is your priority? Is it the residents with the mattresses? Or is it the people fishing like they shouldn't, parking like they shouldn't, canoodling the things? And I'm going to ask you guys to support Karen, support City Hall, and your constituents by taking code enforcement, looking at it, deciding what you want before you spend any more money, if you have any left, training him to try to make sure that what you're doing is fair and equitable. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Michelle, Monday night, before the meeting or right after, I would like to spend a few minutes talking with you about this, because the council, nor, you know, City Hall is always aware of where there may be discrepancies and how the code enforcement is being handled. And if you can, if you know of specific situations, I can address that with the code enforcement officer and hopefully eliminate this image of selective enforcement, if that's
well,
the case.
Well, Tim, I would like to suggest that you allow residents to do that somewhat anonymously, so that when their name is said, they are not subjected to nasty grams or phone calls or people showing up at their house.
Well, yeah, I'm not specifically interested in knowing who the individuals are. I'm just talking about the situation, the specific situations that I can point out and make.
I guess what I'm saying is, I don't want to be like, hey, the mattress is it? I'm using our address, 109 Elm Street, and then having John Dasher send me a nasty gram asking me why I ratted him out. And I guess that's my thing, is that's why we have code enforcement. My suggestion would be you create something online so people can send you a picture. And that way the code enforcement could go there. And now maybe it's not there, maybe the car isn't there, but they could see a pattern or et cetera. But we have code enforcement, we have, you know, other people, because I'm not paid to get nasty grams from my neighbors when they break code. Does that make sense? But I will talk to you, but I want to make that, like, known.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, if somebody sees a violation, if you see something, say something, but the last thing you want is to have it come back, you know, back on you. I think that if the code enforcement officer goes out and sees that actually what is happening is non-compliant, then he's the one that's going to have to address it with the individuals. You know, if you pointed it out, then I don't know that your name should even come up.
And that's what I guess I'm saying. Like, honestly, a picture and not sent through the website, it would be perfect.
Right.
And then hypothetically, he would know 109 Dash has a thing. I'm sorry, sir, there's a hand up. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
When I lived in Johns Creek in a neighborhood with no homeowners association, so I was the bad guy that emailed Johns Creek code enforcement with pictures, with addresses, with my name, with my information, and there was never any repercussion. But that was very effective, because most of the things I think Michelle's talking about, I see every day with, you know, tags with no decal. Now, they may be legally registered, they just don't have the decal. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But there's all sorts of violations that I can take a picture and email it, because it does show lack of disregard and disrespect for the living conditions in the area. And, you know, if they pay a fine, if they know the rules and they can read the code, I think that's reasonable. But that's a very effective tool And if the word gets out, we know where it came from. But it does give you hard data, and it's not just an opinion or a persnicketiness. And I'm real damn persnickety, so anyway, I just said.
And that you can do that now. All you have to do is go to the website, go to his email, and send him that documentation. And City Hall doesn't have to be involved or know anything about it.
So you're saying we can email the code enforcement a ticket? I think that...
No, you email him a picture.
A picture?
And an address.
I still think that y'all need to be aware that it's not across the board. And that is very concerning to me. And I'm sure there's most people here where they're going, like she is, like I walk by this every day. And I know that you guys know people who've gotten multiple tickets. You know, and is that really how we want to govern? That's y'all's question.
But to email back from what Michelle's saying, there's times that you know it's being done at a specific time because they know Rick's not around. Or it's an odd time or something like that. You know, I see that at my intersection after 4:30. Yep. There's so many people blowing stop signs that I got to be real careful before I try to cross the road. And I can't back out. I was afraid the UPS guy was going to get mashed today, stopping in my area. So.
All right. I see another.
Yeah, that you've got Bradford Dallas in the back of the room with his hand raised.
Bradford, go ahead.
Y'all, it's a lot of people here. We increase in population density drastically with more and more, and we got to play nice. It's getting citified. There's going to be cars, tiny trailers, all kinds of things. We just got to play nice.
Was that a recommendation or a suggestion? I couldn't quite make out.
It was a statement of fact, Jim.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate everyone's patience that I'm out of town this week and that this has been a very difficult process, especially trying to operate or direct a meeting with difficult technical issues here. So thank you for your patience. I look forward to seeing everyone on Monday night and hopefully being able to answer more questions and address some of the concerns that people have brought up tonight. So is there anything else?
What?
All right. Does council have anything they would like to
It's been say? Continued to May the 19th. Is that it? Is that it, Jim?
Yes.
All right. Good night.